Good afternoon, brethren. I think before I start, I need to clear up one thing. That was not my cell phone at the first. It was my wife's. While Mr. Cagle was pouring his heart out about the resurrection of the saints, she was doing a little business. But it's great to be here and see everyone. You know, we don't see Tulsa that often. We usually are in Lawton on the holy days. You know, I think most everyone here, hopefully, believes that Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth. I was reading some in a book called Charting the End Times by Tim LaHaye. You know, I think he wrote the book Being Left Behind and probably several others. But I thought it was interesting. He was talking about the holy days. And he said, well, it seems the spring holy days were fulfilled through Christ and maybe even Pentecost, but that's as far as it goes. You know, he said, you know, those holy days were all for Israel, and Israel will fulfill those. But he made an interesting point. He said 23 of the 27 books of the New Testament refer to Jesus coming to the earth again. That only leaves four books, which that would be like Philemon and 2nd and 3rd John, and even Galatians, but there is one verse there that I think refers to Christ's return. He said that the 216 chapters of the New Testament contain 318 references to Jesus' second coming. Well, we have a whole New Testament and the four Gospels about the first coming of Jesus Christ. How will Christ's second coming differ from the first? Well, I think we know, but I'd like for us to turn to Isaiah chapter 42. And here's a prophecy of Jesus Christ in Isaiah chapter 42. And verse 1, behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect, one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out nor raise his voice. See, here's a prophecy of Jesus coming, and it says he will not cry out or raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. Or this doesn't sound like what the Jews were looking for. And yet, it was right here in this prophecy. It says in verse 3, a bruised reed he will not break. Well, a reed, I think of like a cattail. You know, I have cattails in the pond. The wind blows, they sway. You know, they're not that stable. And he said, a bruised reed. Well, the word means like crushed or pressed. You know, it's already damaged. It's not that stable a plant anyway. And it's like it's hanging on. It's bruised. And it says, a bruised reed he will not break. Have you ever felt like a bruised reed? I feel like one right now. No, I mean, you know, you just like, man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to stand up here or not. And you know, just anything come by and just thump you and you just go on over. But Christ said he would not break a bruised reed. That's the Jesus Christ that came. You know, apparently the reeds grown in the Middle East, from what I've been able to read, like 2 or 3 inches in diameter, go up to a big plume, maybe 8 feet tall with 2 or 3 feet long leaves. But they're not that stable, you know, they just sway if the wind blows. I was watching what we call them cattails. I think it's very similar. But, you know, the wind's just blowing them. But the tree, the oak tree standing there, it's not moving. So, you know, the reed's not that strong anyway. And I just wonder, thinking about when Christ come, there was probably a lot of bruised reeds in Judah. I think it's an example of maybe instability, frailty, and Christ didn't come to crush even a bruised reed. You know, it says in 1 Kings 14 as an example of that, it says, "Judgment on the house of Jeroboam, for the Eternal will strike Israel as a reed shaken in the water." And if you're around those things and the wind's blowing, they're just shaking. In other words, it's pretty frail. It's pretty frail. And I would like to read Ezekiel 29. Ezekiel 29 and verse 6 and 7 says, "Then all the inhabitants of Egypt shall know that I am the Eternal, because they have been a staff of reed to the house of Israel. When they took hold of you with the hand, you broke and tore all their shoulders. When they leaned on you, you broke and made all their loins shake." The reed isn't a strong plant. If you lean on it, it's going to break. And I think that this is talking about just a frail, and not just a frail plant, but also a bruised plant. This is a very gentle, compassionate Christ that walked the earth. In which he would not even break a bruised reed. And also, you don't need to turn to it, but in 2 Kings 18:21 it says, "Now look, you are trusting in the staff of the broken reed Egypt, of which if a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it." But like the green reed, if it breaks, it has its slivers, and you lean on that, and it's going to go into your hand. So Christ came to a world and a nation and a people that were weak and frail. And carrying on in that same verse, it says, "And a smoking flax he will not quench," or he won't extinguish. A smoking flax. Well, the flax has been grown in the Middle East for centuries. And of course, they would make yarn out of the better part of the flax, the interior, but that close to the Rhine, they made wicks for lamps. And here this flax is, you see a lamp, and it's burning. But this wick is just smoldering. It's just barely smoldering. It's just an amber, barely able to burn. And he said, like a smoking flax, he will not quench. You know, a lot of the times we would be just like, we're almost to go out, like the virgins, trimming their lamps. It's just smoldering there. But Christ would not quench that. And I think it probably at the time, there in Israel, under the Pharisees, that there was probably a lot of smoking flax in that population. People have been abused, and you know, by the religious leaders, and they could just been quenched, been offended, just pushed over the edge very easily. But it says Christ, he would not quench a smoking flax. He would not be at all harsh. So the smoking flax is also very weak, about to be extinguished. Even Christ would not extinguish a burning or just a dimly lit like a candle about to go out. He came as a meek and a humble servant. Over and over he had to tell his disciples, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve, giving his life. He gave his whole life that he lived as a service. But as we know, the second coming will be quite a lot different, as we've heard today. I would like to turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. First Thessalonians 4 and verse 16, of course. And you just think about this, how it compares to what we just read in Isaiah. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. It said there that his voice wouldn't be heard in the street, and he wouldn't be shouting. With the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. But if we turn back to Isaiah 42, and in verse 13, so here's this speaking of Christ and how he would come, and then in verse 13, it says, the eternal shall go forth like a mighty man. This contradicts what the first part of the, or it would seem to, the first part of the chapter. Like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. Something has happened during this chapter. Stir up his zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out. Yes, shout aloud. And we just read that he will not cry out nor raise his voice. He shall cry out, yes, shout aloud. He shall prevail against his enemies. Something has happened in that chapter. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 11. And in verse 15... Well, we know this, the seventh angel sounded, and there was a loud voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And in verse 17, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. Christ's first coming is in the past. And it's not like Christ is a dual personality. It shows that he has a capacity for compassion, for love, for mercy. And he has the capacity to rule as a king. You've taken your great power and reign. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. And the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and that those who fear your name, small and great, should destroy and should destroy those who corrupt or destroy the earth. Yes, Christ came, and we see the record of him coming as a meek and a humble lamb, sacrificing himself. But most of the world, they were expecting a warrior then, and now they're expecting a lamb, it seems. So the world's always looking in the wrong direction. But you know, we're going to see a dynamic king, as we heard on the first sermon this morning, who will bring justice to the world. We don't see justice. I see very little justice. And his reward will be with him for his faithful servants. Well, we can just pray and hope for that day to come soon.